Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning. My name's George Sinclair. I am the lead pastor at Church of the Messiah in Ottawa, and it's my great honor and privilege to be able to open the Bible with you and tell you about Jesus this morning. So if you're not driving or something like that, if you are sitting down and you have a Bible, please grab a Bible. We're looking at the last few verses in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6. Through to the end of the chapter. So get your Bible. But listen, I've got to give you a warning. Amongst other things, this text talks about money. Yeah, I know it talks about money. And that's sort of one of those topics that you're not supposed to talk about. It's one of those things non-Christians think that Christians talk about money all the time. I don't know, maybe they do in different churches. They don't in my church. We don't talk about money all the time in my church. But the Bible talks about money sometimes, and we're going to look at a text that talks about money. So I'm just giving you a bit of a warning or a heads up. And just actually, this is a really good opportunity for me to say one thing before I look at this text. Now you're maybe curious about it. You know, the first thing is just to tell you this, that if you're a non-Christian and you're listening to this text, as far as I am concerned, you should never give the church any money. Like, don't give it any money. You know, when the church passes the collection plate or whatever it is, that's for Christians. It's a whole, you know, it's a bit of another topic, but it's for Christians to. It's an act of worship for Christians, and you know, and a good church should want to bless those outside the church, not receive money from those outside the church. And so when you come to church, if you're not haven't given your life to Jesus, don't put any money in the plate. If you come to my church, don't put any money in the plate. That would be great. We'd just rather give you free coffee and love you and bless you. And just one other thing then about this, because we're going to be talking about money, and the very first thing is going to be talk about money and teachers. Just for the record, neither I nor any of the other three men who opened the Bible on this show, none of us receive any money for this. The board that is legally responsible for the program, they don't receive a penny. We are completely and utterly dependent to put this show on by the free will offerings of people in the community. And we just pray that the money will come in for these shows to continue to go out. And you know, by that token, if God has blessed you in some way with some financial resources and you want to see something like this continue, then please consider making a donation. But even if not, please pray for us that God will just – that we'll open the Word in the right way, that God will be glorified, that Jesus will be lifted high in this city and around the world, and that as we do this, that God will provide for us this ministry to continue going on financially. But I don't receive a penny from this. So yeah, now here's the text, okay? Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, and we'll read down into about verse 16. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. And just before we go any further, the share all good things, that includes money, amongst other things, because money is a good thing. The love of money is a sin. An inordinate love of money is a sin, but money in itself is a good thing. It's a needful thing. So just once again, one who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Holy Spirit reap eternal life. I should read that again. But the one who sows to the Holy Spirit will from the Holy Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. And we'll just sort of stop there. So yeah. It talks about money. And let's just look at this text a little bit. We'll just think about it again. Look at verse 6 again. That's the money text. And by the way, here's the thing. I think I've said this before on the radio. We need help with money, don't we? I mean, on one level, some of us need help with budgets and all that type of stuff. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that we need help with the place that money has in our lives. But just this one thing, I think it came from John Maxwell. Most people spend money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't like. And then we think we don't have problems with money, think about it for a second. We put money on our credit card and we buy things, I don't know, like maybe we spend hundreds of extra dollars on makeup or on a better car or something like that. And part of the reason we make sure that we have that coat or that car or those sunglasses or those pants or that house is to impress our neighbors, but we don't even like our neighbors. Or to impress people who, come in contact. We don't even particularly like them. And so there's all these things going on in connection with money. And if we're honest with ourselves, we have a lopsided, we don't really relate to money well. And so money is part of life. This show to go on free of charge with no advertisements, it requires that CFRA gets paid. That's how this show goes on. If they don't get paid, it doesn't go on. My church on Sunday morning, we meet in the Ottawa Little Theater, and the Ottawa Little Theater likes getting paid rent. If we don't pay the rent, we won't be able to meet there. Money is part of life. I like to eat. Grocers don't give me the food for free. I have to pay for it. So money's part of life, and it's valid that the Bible brings biblical wisdom to bear on money. So here's this command as the Galatians, Paul's letter to the church in Galatia is coming to an end. He says, one who has taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches, and all good things includes money. So here's the first point. We enter the Jesus way one by one, but we walk the Jesus way with Jesus and others. So you see, this is the thing, is that Christians aren't this isn't a put down or anything like this. It's just, you can be a good Hindu and never go to the temple. You can be a good Muslim and never go to the mosque. It's not essential to being a good Muslim or being a good Hindu. But for a Christian, you can't be a follower of Jesus and not have a local church. we become a Christian as a particular person. We don't just – it's not because our parents were Christians that we were Christians, or our grandparents were Christians that we become Christians. Whether we know the conscious moment that we gave our lives to Christ or not, that's sort of irrelevant. But that we come to know that we are Christ, that's what matters, and that we've trusted him as our Savior and as our Lord, that we trust what he did for us on the cross. And so we enter the Jesus way one by one. But once we enter the Jesus way, we don't live the Jesus way by ourselves. We walk the Jesus way, and walk is an old New Testament and Old Testament image of living our daily lives, our day-to-day, week-to-week, year-to-year lives. We walk the Jesus way with Jesus and with others, with his other children in the context of a local church and parachurch ministries and fellowships in our homes and in our neighborhoods that crossed churches and denominational lines. But we are meant to walk this way, with other people. So why on earth then is Paul talking about money here? Well, here's the thing. It goes back with God's big plan. If you go and you read the epistles, you read the book of Acts, you'll see that God has this crazy, completely and utterly foolish, from the eyes of the world, plan. And what's his plan? the preaching of the gospel while preaching through the Bible is central to the life of the local church and central to God's plan to make the gospel known to every people group. The preaching of the gospel while opening the Bible and going through the Bible, the whole counsel of God, is central to the life of the local church and central to God's plan to make the gospel known and available to every people group so that he gets glory in every people group. And there are people in every people group on the planet that God desires to have as his adopted child by grace. And this is God's plan. And so when it says here, share, it's talking about koinonia. That's actually the word for it. If you look at it again, let one who is taught the word must share, have koinonia. That's a deep type of community and union of all good things with the one who teaches, that we, in a sense, who have been blessed with, every human being who becomes a follower of Christ is called to show that Jesus is the Savior and the Lord of his or her money. And part of the way we do that is that we give the money for the purpose of the building up of the church and the spreading of the gospel so that more people come to a saving faith in Jesus. And as they come to a saving faith in Jesus, they enter into a local church. That's what happens in the book of Acts. Paul goes, he preaches the Bible, people come into a saving faith with Jesus, he forms a local church, he sets up elders and other types of officers, and then he goes to another community and he tells the communities to declare the gospel and the whole counsel of God. And local people, we are built up by hearing the whole counsel of God in light of the gospel and hearing the gospel in light of the whole counsel of God. And that's what's to take place. That's what should be our central food when we gather at least once a week and once we gather in mentoring relationships and in small groups and in ministries, is that it's the gospel, the preaching of the person and work of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, his finished work, his accomplishment on the cross by which we are made right with God when we receive it by faith. That is to be the center of the church's life in the context of opening the Bible. And this is God's plan. I mean, we might think it's completely and utterly crazy. We might think, well, it would be better if you use science, it would be better if you used these other methods and techniques. And you might even say, George, well, isn't this radio show not – no. You see, here, this – I'm a pastor of a local church. The only reason I can do this is because I have a local congregation who pays my salary and prays for me. And in a sense, as they pray for me and as they support me – for me to make my living from the gospel, they partake of this ministry. It's only because all four of this, it's only because there are local churches supporting the pastor that this ministry can go out. And our hope is that Christians will be nourished. And if you haven't yet become a follower of Jesus, that you will hear about Jesus. Our hope is that you will give your life to Jesus, that Jesus doesn't want your money, he wants you. He doesn't stop. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, stop giving money to the church. Okay, stop giving money to the church. Don't give the money to the ministry, our ministry, if you haven't given your life to Jesus. First, give your life to Jesus. And then as the gospel grips you, he's going to deal with money in your life. And one of the ways he's going to deal with money with your life is in terms of a new type of generosity towards the needs of people, but especially for the furtherance of the gospel. And I urge you, if you have given your life to Jesus and you're not part of a good local church, find a local church where the gospel is preached and the whole counsel of God is preached by opening the Bible and explaining it. And you need to be part of a church like that. You really do. And I'm not saying this to hurt you. This is God's plan for our good. I mean, the same God who sent Jesus to die upon the cross to reconcile us to him, this is God's plan, that we would enter the Jesus way one by one, but we would walk the Jesus way with others, with Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord, with our as our best friend, as the one who loves us and cares for us, who puts his arms around us, who's acquainted with grief and suffering, and that we can pour out our hearts to him, that he can do our day with us, that we can bring before him how to deal with the boss and how to deal with our finances and how to deal with the employees and how to deal with our retirement and how to deal with our illness. And we can bring these things to him, and he knows, he loves us, and we walk in the world with him, a big God, and we don't just do this by ourselves. We do it with one another. And as part of this one another is that God in often sets people aside to open the Word, and others are gifted to open the Word, not just the pastor, because there should be Sunday school teachers and small group leaders and all of that stuff, but that there's money that comes from all of us. I myself give, of course, to Christian ministries and missionaries in the church, that we give of our money to support God's fundamental plan. And so that's his plan A. That's how the church grows. That's why it's not here because Paul himself isn't even going to receive any money from him writing this particular thing. The money that he's talking about is going to go within the church in Galatia. And then Paul goes on and he connects this with sowing and reaping. So listen again to verse 6. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Then he says, do not be deceived. Verse 7. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Holy Spirit will from the Holy Spirit reap eternal life. And in Paul's letters, generally speaking, not always, but generally when you see the word flesh, it means that part of us that is in rebellion against God. If you read John's gospel, usually when he uses the word flesh, he means it in its other principal sense, which is frail and weak. But when Paul uses it in Galatians, he usually uses it in a way of referring to our that part of us which is in rebellion against God. So here's the point. Being made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ crucified does not mean I can now do whatever I want with impunity. I still reap what I sow. Okay? You know, we're made right with God and Jesus has done everything that has been needed for me to be right with God. My sin and shame is dealt with. Every accusation against me has been dealt with. It was laid on him. When I put my hands in his hand, that he might take me, he might be my Savior and my Lord, in a sense, as that happens, all of the accusations against me are laid on him, and he pays the penalty. And at the same time, his perfect obedience and keeping of the law, that is bestowed upon me. I become his, and that's what happens in the gospel. But that doesn't then mean that we can just live with impunity. The gospel will change us, and if we live in ways which are contrary to the gospel and contrary to God's design for us and his word and the way he's woven into the creation, we're going to reap what we sow. Like, just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean that if I drink, 10 shots of whiskey, I won't get drunk. it doesn't – you still reap what you sow. You can't live with impunity. Being made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ crucified does not mean I can now do whatever I want with impunity. I reap what I sow. And in fact, actually this text – here we've talked about money. We'll also talk about hell. This is actually a hell text as well. Listen to it again. Do not be deceived, verse 7. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Holy Spirit will from the Holy Spirit reap eternal life. And what that's telling us is that, you know, if we live our lives in rebellion against God and we don't put our faith, you know, we don't say, well, I don't need Jesus. You know, I have my own way. I'm spiritual, not religious. I have my own way. I don't need Jesus. I don't need God. I'm going to sort out my relationship with God on my terms, in my timetable, in my way. I'm going to justify myself before God. He has no right to judge me, whatever it is that we say to him. And we just live our lives on our own terms. And it doesn't matter if you're a soccer mom in Canada, if you're a, you know, a well-heeled society person in Rockcliffe. It doesn't matter if you're a, you know, a First Nations person who's been, you know, who's either very successful or who's been victimized. It doesn't matter any of those things by which we might claim some type of status. You know, none of these things really matter to God. If we're living life on our own terms, this isn't just talking about like living an evil life. It's just talking about living our life with our back completely and utterly against God. It just furthers our process towards death. And it will be a death that goes on into eternity. You see, hell is real decay, decomposition, and corruption. It's really interesting here. That's what he's talking about here, is that we just live our lives in our own terms. We sow to ourselves. What we're going to reap is corruption. That's what the Bible is saying. That continues on after death. And it's really interesting, because what Paul is talking here is the great threat is religion. He's not actually here trying to go after the people who spend all their time in bars and stuff like that. He's going after people who want to just, you know, have their own religion and their own terms and religious rules by following the rules, they become right with God on their own effort and by their own activities. And unless God makes us right with himself, Paul, throughout the entire book of Galatians and in the book of Romans and in other places, is trying to show us time and time and time again, it's a vain idea. It's an impossible idea to think that we make ourselves right to God by our own efforts. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't work. We need God to do it, and only God can do it. And if God does it, he does it all, and all we can do is accept what he's done by faith. So to sow to that is just continuing this whole process of just getting farther and farther and farther away from God. But when we sow as the Holy Spirit leads, and the Holy Spirit will lead us to be generous, it'll lead us to support God's plan A of the furthering of the gospel. When we sow as the Holy Spirit leads, we will reap an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. I'm taking those words from 2 Corinthians. And so how do we sow? We sow by, you know, the preaching of the word, by trusting God's word, trusting the gospel, sharing the gospel, bearing witness to it. We sow with our money in terms of generosity for the furtherance of the gospel, for the meeting of the needs in the church and in the community, by our time, by living a one another life where we bear one another's burdens. When we sow into that in keeping with God's word, then rather than being on the road towards corruption, we are on the road to an eternal weight of glory. Eternal weight of glory. I mean, it's really quite remarkable. Let's just sort of wind this up here. Paul ends up just reminding us of some things about the gospel. He then goes on, says verse 9, because some of us are tired, he encourages us. He said, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season, in other words, in God's timing, we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Then he says, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh, that is our sinful nature, our nature in rebellion against God. They are the ones who would force you to be circumcised, to be religious, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ, because the cross of Christ is always offensive to our pride, just to completely and utterly trust that it's not our wisdom, it's not our righteousness, it's not our wealth, it's not our power, it's not our attainments that make us right with God. It's not because we're special or of the right tribe, but that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we are only made right with him by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Verse 13, for even those who are circumcised and do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh, that they have followers, that they have numbers, that, you know, people don't keep their own religious rules, but they like having many people there, and they cover over the fact that they don't keep the rules, but try to make us keep the rules. And the Bible hates religion. But far be it from me, verse 14, to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, in other words, religion, nor uncircumcised, but a new creation. So here's what's going on. The Paul, in terms of the big print, all he's just saying is, in terms of the original letter, he was dictating the letter, and at this point in time, as the letter's coming to an end, he takes the pen himself and he writes with his own hand because he's the one who brought the gospel to Galatia, and he wants to see that he's really the one who's writing this. He's just critiqued religious practice, whether it has a Christian religion or whatever, because we can take the gospel and turn it into religion rather than the announcement of good news, right? The gospel is good news, not good rules, not good rituals, not good religion. The gospel is good news about what God has done for us in the person of his son. And so what Paul here is saying is that, our boasting reveals what we believe will save us, what will give us meaning and significance and worth. And so, we boast in our wife or our family or our job or accomplishments, we desire to be able to boast in these types of things. And Paul is saying, listen, really at the end of the day, God doesn't make me right with him because my dog won a medal in a dog show or because I have a big house. Everything I've only made right with God, and my eternal destiny is to be face to face with God, and only what Jesus has done for me on the cross will make me right for God. And so I'm not going to boast in anything other than the fact that it's by his crucifixion that I am made right for him. And what happens in the gospel, this whole image of sowing and reaping, is it's almost as if when God, you put your hand in the hand of Jesus, it's like he wraps himself around you and you die and he dies with you, and when you die with Jesus, it's as if you find that you're in his death and he's in your death, and he's the one who then pays all of the penalty of your sin, and it's his righteousness and perfect standing of the Father that stands for you. And so we share in his resurrection. We're a fruit of what he's done for us in the cross. And so what the Bible here is telling us is that as we learn to boast in Jesus Christ crucified, to put our confidence, because boasting reveals what we put our confidence in, if we put our confidence in Jesus Christ crucified, as that becomes more and more our confidence, as the gospel becomes more real to us, as we hear it in a way that touches our heart and the gospel becomes real to us, then we realize we become freed up to live a life that really matters to God, and to invest in things which have eternal significance. Friends, it's been an honor to open the Bible with you. I hope you put your trust in Jesus and have your faith in him and him alone. My name's George Sinclair, pastor, Church of the Messiah in Ottawa. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations, which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart. And may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with his constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.